Bentornati, tifosi napoletani, to the Far From Vesuvius podcast, and bentornati as well to the one and only Ken Cioffredi. Ken, my man, you're back. I'm so happy that you're back. What's going on, brother?
Not too much, you know, back in the folds. You know, the season's about to end. Lots of excitement this weekend. There's a lot of permutations and scenarios that I'm sure we're going to go over, but it's too important of a time to be sitting on the sidelines, so I'm back.
Yeah, man, we need all hands on deck for this one, dude. So, I'm just, you know, what have you been up to? How's life treating you? Everything good?
Good, man. Everything's good. Busy, staying busy, you know. Going to try to enjoy the summer the best we can. We're moving and grooving over here. So how are you guys doing?
Yeah. Good, man. Good. They just eased up on us for a few things and, you know, COVID related. So work is going to be insane. I know it. I've been preparing for it myself. And, you know, there's a lot going on in Casa del Rispo over the past few days, weeks, months. But, you know, we always have time to go back to Napoli because that's what we love, dude. And, you know, this is crunch time now. This is it. One more win. We're back in the Champions League. We got Verona this weekend.
Yep.
You know, really good win against Fiorentina, which, you know, when you look at it, when you look at the scenario of Juve playing Inter on Saturday and then Napoli going to Fiorentina on Sunday, you know, we had a little bit of a, you know, of a sort of deja vu. And we were all very worried about what we would see on the pitch. And for the first half, it was really kind of scary, but we came through in the second. And I really think it's a testament to Gattuso and to the team and their mentality and how they've grown in that regard. So Ken, I mean, we went over it on the rant on Monday after the match, but what are your feelings? Let's get your thoughts on Gattuso. Let's get thoughts on the team. Let's get your thoughts on our position now. And, you know, how do you feel about this team? How do you feel about our future? How do you feel about what's going on right now?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all had a little bit of PTSD on Sunday morning, right? It was, we saw the result the day before. We see Inter and Juve in controversial fashion, you know, big referee mistakes. And we come in, you know, we don't score in the first half. And I think a lot of us were nervous. It was, for us in the States anyway, it was a 6:30 a.m. kickoff. So, you know, we all of us had to set special alarms on a Sunday morning to be able to watch that one. So, you know, I thought we played pretty well. You know, we get a penalty, I think, in like the 50th or 55th minute. And, you know, I think it's the second one of these big penalties that Rahmani has actually drawn in the second half of the year. A player that I think maybe was slept on for the first half of the season. And I'm glad he's getting his opportunities now. Him and Manolas have been playing very well. So, he draws a penalty and Insigne steps up and, you know, it was all the curse of the commentator. They go through the whole thing, you know, Tracciano has never saved the penalty and the whole thing. And, and Insigne steps up, he hop steps it and shoots it right at the keeper and he actually saves it. And Insigne gets a little bit of that Ronaldo love from the day before and it bounces right back to him and he's able to tap it in. You know, there were some jokes going around in some of the groups I'm in that Insigne, you know, hit it for the rebound on purpose so he wouldn't get another penalty goal. But, you know, I think my heart stopped probably for a half a second when that penalty is saved before he puts it back in. And then, you know, I think the second goal ends up being an own goal on Venuti. But a great piece of play by Osimhen to set that play up back to Insigne. Insigne lays it off for Zielinski, and Zielinski gets a good bounce.
He got the credit for it. Yeah, he got the credit for it on the pitch, but yeah.
Yeah, and then I think it was changed after to an own goal, but mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's the scenes and Contini getting a yellow card from the bench and, you know, the whole deal.
How great was that? That was wonderful. It was wonderful.
I love when Bonetti is like, mentioned. "Who is that?
Who is that? Yeah.
Who's that guy?"
It was funny. It was funny to hear. I think it was Donaldson too who said, "You know, he's had no minutes in Serie A, but he's got a yellow card."
Yeah,
unbelievable. Yeah. Just
so I mean, we took care of business, and it sets the stage for this weekend. You know, we know what we've got to do. We've got to beat Hellas Verona, and I mean, all we can do is hope that we take care of business. There's no one else to, you know, we don't have to hope for anything to happen. We don't have to look for anything to happen. We just got to take care of business.
Right.
And, you know, for me personally, I mean, I think we all know where most of us stand. For me, the most important thing is we get into the Champions League, and any permutations that happen after that is what it is. But I know that we all would love to see us get in and Juventus be on the outside looking in. But we'll see what happens with that. But I mean, you know,
first and foremost, this has to be job done. You know, like we have to get back into the Champions League. That's a number one, and I realize that. But how wonderful would it be to get second place? You know, and I know I've taken a lot of crap from people on Twitter, and I get it. I get it. We just want to get in. Who cares about the rest of them? I get it. But second place to me, and a scenario where we're in second and Juve don't make it, is like the icing on the cake. In my not losing faith in Gattuso all season. You know what I mean? That just for me would be like, not only did he overcome, but he stuck it up your ass and said to you, "Okay, well, watch me do this," you know. And I just feel like, regardless, I'd be very happy with the season as an overall. And you know, it's funny too, because I mentioned after the loss against Juventus, after the 2-1 loss against Juventus, and realized, okay, to gain a possible tie break on Juventus, we'd have to kind of win big.
Yeah, because I think after that, we were sort of like 5 or 6 behind them in the goal difference. Something like that. We had to flip it around.
Yeah. And we're now 8 goals. We're plus 8 goal differential on them. You know, the 5-2 against Lazio, the 4-1 against, who was it?
Spezia.
5-1 Udinese. 5-1 Udinese. Like, those big results were what we needed to. You know, and we got it. And I feel like they knew they needed it, and they got it. Napoli, if passed, would take these chances and squander them. And you know that, Ken. And this just seems like a different team. It seems like a different time. You know,
I think since that loss against Juventus, we've played 8 games and we've only dropped 4 points. We have 2 draws and 6 wins. So,
yeah.
You know, since that loss, we haven't really let up at all. I mean, even before then, I think, you know, in March, in the 4 games we played, we only had 1 draw and 3 wins. So we haven't, you know, since we got healthy, and since, I mean, I think a lot of it is getting out of the other competitions as well. But, you know, since we have been out of the Europa League and out of the Copa, we really have turned it around. I mean, I think since that game, we've played, 5, 11, 15 games in Serie A. We have 3 draws and 1 loss, and all the rest are wins. So
right. We're second in the when it comes to the Ritorno table, you know.
Yeah.
No, nobody's better than us except for Inter, and there's Scudetto winners, you know. So it's just for me, it feels like this team has turned another leaf, you know, and it would be a real shame to lose Gattuso regardless of what happens. You know, I understand it if we don't make it, but you know, if we do make it, I think there's no other person that would be fit enough to lead this team to the next season than him. But now, I mean, I don't know what happened from like a couple days ago to today, but I really kind of am getting nervous about him staying, and I've tweeted this out. I for some reason, I just feel kind of crappy about it. I think for some reason he goes, and we get an either Allegri or Spalletti or what have you. But what are your feelings on that, man?
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who's spoken to me privately or in the Napoli chats that I'm in, everyone knows that I've been in the camp of Gattuso in the whole season. There's been a lot of things going against him this year. You know, a lot of things that people forget. You know, I know we had a bad run of form in December and January January and February really, but you know, we had a bunch of losses and we crashed out of the Europa League, we crashed out of the Copa. You know, we had a pretty bad loss to Atalanta in the league in that time, and a lot of pressure was mounting on Gattuso. But people forget that he was dealing with this eye issue for like a month and a half where he couldn't see. And it was really sort of weighing down on him. I know his sister has died in the last, you know, year or so, and that's taken a toll on him.
During the break, I believe, or right before Copa.
Yeah. You know, that, all these things happening at once. Plus, we had, I think at one point, we had 6 or 7 starters out in that time. You know, and I'm not trying to just make excuses because, you know, everyone's had to deal with COVID. But I think, you know, we have a bunch of games where we have no striker. You know, Mertens got hurt in the Inter game, the first time we played Inter. We had no Osimhen for about 3.5 months. There was a stretch where we had no Koulibaly, no Manolas, Fabian Ospina had COVID, Zielinski had COVID, Ospina was hurt. You know, so it's not just the sort of, oh, everyone's had to deal with COVID, you know, that month or so when we had to deal with it heavy, there was a lot of stuff going on aside from just the injuries. You know, we had a manager who wasn't 100%, who was dealing with stuff on and off the pitch. And I think he deserves a chance next year. I think that the rumor mill is really churning that he's going to be out, and there's really no interest, whether it's from him, his part, or De Laurentiis' part, remains to be seen. Because I think we've been in a press silence for 3 months now, so we don't really know what the club is thinking or looking at officially. But I know Alvino came out and said today on the radio that we should expect to know who the manager is by the middle of next week. You know, take that for what it is. You know, he's been right, he's been wrong, but you know, he seems to have a beat on what's going on with De Laurentiis's head, because they seem to have a good relationship. So take that for what it is. But you know, these are the sort of the murmurings that are around. And if it is true that he's not going to stay, then he deserves even more credit for being able to keep his mind on the job and keeping his team focused on the task at hand, which is achieving something that probably back in February we thought was pretty impossible. I think we were sitting seventh or eighth. Yeah, at some point, and he's really brought us back, you know, to a good position. And you know, Sunday is still left to be played, and we still have an opportunity to shoot ourselves in the foot. But I hope that that's not what's going to happen, you know, and if for whatever reason we can't get the job done, hopefully someone else can't get the job done and sees us in. But, you know, I think there's no reason for us to lose or not get a win against Verona this weekend. They don't have anything to play for aside from the spoiler role, and we've got to play it like it's a final. So, and I think that Gattuso will have the guys motivated to play like it is a final on Sunday. So that's where we're at. And we won't have to worry about anyone playing before us, thank God, or after us, or whatever. Everyone's going to kick off at the same time. So,
yeah. And that's kind of how it's been, you know, for the last run of games here. You know, the Spezia game we had first, the Fiorentina game was at 6:30. And yeah, the Inter Juve game went off, but, you know, we just played our game. So I think if we approach it like, you know, we're all playing at the same time, we just have to win, forget about everybody else, I think we're going to get the job done. I think that's what, you know, and Verona have no Barak. He's not playing. You know, not that this really matters too much, because he's been really crap, but Maximovic is back from COVID. So there's another option.
Yeah. I think yeah, I think Koulibaly still hasn't really been playing, hasn't been practicing or anything. So, yeah, I mean, I think so, I'm also in the the camp of if it ain't broke, don't fix it right now.
Right.
I wouldn't mess with anything. I would leave. I would keep the lineup, you know.
You're right. Because it's funny because when you know, Koulibaly really went down and Maksimovic went out with COVID, we're looking at Manolas and Rahmani, you know, and a lot of people out there were like, oh, the 45 minutes they played with each other was an abomination. They're going to be terrible. And they've actually been very, very solid
very good.
In the back.
Very good. Solid. I've been impressed. I think Rahmani has really started to find his groove, which we really, and it's at a time when we really needed it. And everyone's going to, you know, cry about this when I say it on air, but everyone's going to miss Hisai when he's gone next year. And I know everyone wants to hear it, but
listen, I'm with you there, man. I'm with you there. I've been trying to sing his praises for a little bit, but
everyone craps on him, but it's not good to lose a player that's that useful.
He's pretty solid in the back,
on a free transfer.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just lost him for nothing. So it's a shame.
Well, and that's another part of it. You know, it's like we could at least have sold him, you know, and made a little money off of him. I mean, I'm 50-50. I'm okay with him going. But like you said, making no money off of him kind of sucks. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind seeing another left back come in. But while we're on the subject of our defense, what about Di Lorenzo, bro? Because I know you, and I know you were all over Di Lorenzo for the first half of the season. I feel like he's turned around, dude. Like it's definitely between him and Fabiana's most improved Napoli player of this season. Like you know, not
within the season,
within the season, not compared to like last season, which would be Chucky Lozano for sure, but. You know, I think he's really stepped it up big time.
He's been much better. A lot of it
has to do with, I feel, just the fact that we're not playing every 4 days. And I'm not sure why Gattuso decided to put, you know, Hussai on the left and share that side with Mauro Rui and not have a sort of a backup for Di Lorenzo, but...
We got to remember Goulam went down.
Goulam did go down. You're
and,
right.
And Malqui is on loan, so he doesn't. We don't really have. We only have three fullbacks right now, really.
Sure.
So I mean, Di Lorenzo's been great the last month or so, but you could probably just insert any player for our team in that amount of time, and I don't have too much bad to say about anybody in that stretch. I mean,
sure.
Everybody's been really good. Even Bakayoko has been able to turn it around. I think Bakayoko the last two games has been really good. I would change nothing. If I was Gattuso, I would trot out that same 11 that came out last week to start.
Politano on the right.
I mean, for me, like it's a pick'em, right?
It doesn't matter.
I don't care. If you want to go Lozano, that's fine. But I think Politano has played well enough to deserve it. But everything else should stay. You know, it gives you some flexibility off the bench. You know, if you need the energy in the midfield off the bench, you have Deme. I like subbing on Deme better because Bakayoko doesn't give you, you know, that same type of energy or like, you know, grittiness. Mm-hmm. Bakayoko is a little bit more stable defensively, though. I feel like Deme sometimes gets caught out of position a little bit. But other than that, I change nothing. You know, maybe a toss-up between Politano and Osimhen. I mean, Politano and Lozano. But aside from that, you keep a strong bench. You have Mertens. You have Lozano. You have Deme. You have Petagna if you need him. You have Elmas if you need an offensive spark off the bench at the end of the game. But aside from that, I don't change anything. I keep
and
it
that's
exactly
really-
what it is.
That's really it, Ken. That's the downfall of the season was so many players injured. You know, we had two. I mentioned this, you know, and I mentioned this when I talk about it all the time. But we had two players on the first team squad, on the senior squad, on the bench for about a month that was eligible to come in for substitution. And six or seven youth players, Primavera 2 players.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Gattuso's options were very limited. He was stretched very thin, and it was really a struggle. You know, there was a lot of things going on. So by you just naming off all those players that are eligible to come in and able to come in and ready and fit, You know, I mean, look at how we had no Lobotka, no Maksimovic, no Koulibaly, but we've won every single game without them. And yep. We're on the brink of winning. You know, I remember, so, oh, four more wins, you know, four more. We got to win all four. Okay, now we got to win all three. Now we got to win our next two. And we're there. We just got to win one more. And we've done it without our star center back, and we've done it with some depth, you know, some depth missing. So, you know, I'm going to hit some of these questions up that we got on Twitter here. If you find any more from the chat, dude, let me know. But we'll read these off. First, I'm going to go with Johnny. Johnny Delicoli, a good friend of ours from.
Hey, what's up, Johnny?
Culture Guys. Yeah.
Hope you're well, dude.
Yes, same here. So Johnny, do you honestly think we make a top four and don't crap the bed to a defensive Hellas Verona?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do. I'm really trying hard not to put that energy out there to get us jinxed, but I mean, you know, Verona is gonna play much like Fiorentina did, set up in a low block, you know, try to have us break them down. And we just have to do our job. I mean, there's no excuses, right? It's the last game of the season. We know what we have to do. There should be no excuses. We're the better team. We're in form. They're not, you know, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. I hope we don't crap the bed. I would be really upset. Really upset if we did. But I mean, this is the drama. I mean, this is one of the craziest ends to the season I can remember.
Sure.
I mean, I've never seen it with you know, three teams fighting for two spots like this at the last week of the season.
Right. And it was five teams or six a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
And 2 weeks ago, it could have been a five-way tie. You know, 2 weeks ago, we could have had five teams all tied on points at the end of the season. It was just, and we were all doing the math and
doing the mini tables, baby. I was
mini tabling it up, man. And I was the master of it because everybody came to me. It was like, no, if this happens, that happens. And I'm like, no. Check this out. Look at this. So touching on that real quick, you mentioned Verona's form. They're on a bad run of form, man. They haven't won since April 3rd against Cagliari. That might actually have been the last time Cagliari lost to. Lost to Lazio, lost to Sampdoria, lost to Fiorentina, lost to Inter, drew Spezia, drew Torino, lost to Crotone. drew Bologna last week. And honestly, since the Zaccagni rumors from the winter were going around, and for him to subsequently come in next season, his last goal for Verona was the match against us, which was Di Marco, who's also sort of linked to us, Barak and Zaccagni, and that was after the Lozano 9-second goal.
Yes,
was incredible, but. But that's his last goal for them, and since then he's kind of been missing in action. So there's not that much to worry about, guys. I mean, like, we should be able to handily win this one. If we don't win this one, there are ways that we get into the Champions League still. One of the ways is if we draw, and so if we draw,
and Milan loses,
correct.
But then we need if we draw and Milan loses. We will have 77 and they'll have 76.
They'll have 76. So we'll get fourth for sure, because no matter what
Juventus does. Yep. And then if Juve lose, it doesn't matter what happens with us because we're in. If Juve
loses. That is true.
If Juve loses to Bologna,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what we do. So those are the only, if we lose, the only way we get in is if Juventus loses.
Draw.
If they draw, yeah, because then
we have them on the
on the mini table.
There's also the way so what is that? Is that so 75? So if we lose, and if Milan lose and Juventus draw,
yes,
we're still in. We make it. The Football Italia erroneously came out with a an article saying that if the three teams are tied on points, Juve get in because they have more goals within that mini table. But the actual fact is the tiebreaker is goals is points within the mini table, then goal differential within the mini table, which has Milan, which would so points everybody's tied. Milan, Napoli, Juve all have six within this mini table. The goal differential is Milan has a plus two, and Juve and Napoli both have a negative one. So everybody's saying, okay, goal scored within the mini table, right? No, the next tiebreak is goals is a goal differential in the league. Yep. And we have,
Juve have to win, like I said, would have plus to win eight. Like 9-0 or something like that.
Juve
right?
would have to, yeah, yeah. But then again, if Juve win, that doesn't that scenario doesn't even work. So no matter what, if Juve if Napoli and Milan lose and Juve draw, we're in. So yeah, there's the comfort of that at least. But I know everybody's going to say, let's just win. Screw it.
Just win. Now, it doesn't matter what the other teams do.
That's right. Now, if Napoli do win and Milan and Atalanta draw, Napoli are in second place.
Yeah, because we have Atalanta on the tiebreaker.
Because we have Atalanta in the tiebreak. So, I mean, this is, you know, it's exciting. It's going to be an exciting weekend. I'm going to use ESPN Plus's multi-screen for the first time ever. well, even though really it doesn't matter, but you know, I can't not look at what's going on the other games. I just can't. So Dom from the Bronx, Dom BX.
Dom from the Dom Bronx. BX, what's up, bro?
_ Apuzzo 26, a good buddy of ours too. If I let, he has a couple questions here. So first, how would it take for our squad that's always been an attacking one to adapt to his style?
I mean, I don't think it would take too much, honestly. I mean, if we get Allegri, that's the only coach I want that I think would be a mental and sort of, it would be a statement of intent, right? If we make the Champions League, and Gattuso is gone, I think Allegri is the only manager I want to come in because he's proven, not that to win a Champions League, but he's proven that he can win titles and get that team into that sort of, we play whatever way we play to win a game. And I think that would be a smart move for us to go to. I'll tell you right now, and just sort of like branching off from this, I don't want any part of Spalletti.
No.
I don't want him. If we get him, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to think it's a downgrade over Gattuso. Yeah, that's where I'm at with that. But I think we could adapt to his style. I mean, Allegri will change formations and play different ways against different teams to get a win. And I think that I have some comfort in that. We have the ability and the talent in our squad to do something special. If we can stay healthy and with the right coach. And the thing with Allegri is, and I know this is silly to say because this is sort of blown up in our faces with Ancelotti, but I think having a manager like that makes De Laurentiis excited, and he might be more inclined to open up the wallet for a manager like Allegri than he would maybe for Spalletti, who's been sort of, you know, he didn't have the best, you know, return to Roma. He was okay at Inter, but you know, I don't think it's the same type of excitement that could potentially come from Allegri. And I know he had spent all those time at Juve, but if Allegri comes, we have a former Napoli player.
Yes.
As a coach.
That's right. That's right. You know, you mentioned the Ancelotti factor. You know, everybody was very excited. And how could you not be? How could you not be excited for a guy like Ancelotti to come to your team? Notwithstanding the fact that, you know, he was out of favor at Bayern, you know, but he won Champions League with Chelsea. He won Champions League with Real Madrid, got them La Decima. He obviously won those Champions Leagues with Milan. You know, he's he didn't win the Champions League with Chelsea. Sorry. He won the Champions League with Real. Sorry about that. But, it was exciting. It didn't work out. We were blinded by the fact that he's kind of out of touch. He probably wasn't the right fit for the team. He's a very tranquil kind of guy, and we need some, like, you know, tough love. But also, he's successful, but he's successful in an era that's passed us by. And Allegri, you said, you know, he didn't win a Champions League. No, but he got Juve to the final twice in 4 seasons and or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
You know,
won the Scudetto every year he was the manager.
And he won 4 straight doubles.
Yeah.
You know, he won 4 straight domestic doubles. I mean, recently, you know, so that's somebody 16, I'd 16, take.
17, 18, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was after our last Coppa Italia before 2021, and then Lazio won, and then we won. So, yeah, it was 15, 16, 17, and 18 is when it was. You know, 4 straight domestic doubles. And it wasn't until Ronaldo came in with him that they lost the Coppa Italia and then, you know, what have you. But anyway, he got them to 2 Champions League finals recently. So, you know, I don't really care what we look like. A lot of people are going to really, really be upset with how we look if he comes in. And I really don't care about that. I don't care if we win 1-0 38 times. You know, we go undefeated. His next question, Dom's next question is chances of landing DePaul and how he'd fit into our system.
I mean, well, sort of to go off your first question, it would depend on who our coach is, right? I don't know, you know. He's a good player and he's a flexible player, so my gut tells me he'd fit in anywhere. He's played all over the pitch for Udinese over the last 3 or 4 or 5 seasons, however long he's been there. But truthfully, I don't think we're going to land him. I think he's been one of these names that comes up every year for us. I feel like the last like 3 seasons, it's like we're rumored to get him and he hasn't moved. And I don't know. I think that I think that he has eyes on another team with stripes on their jerseys, but that's for another day. I think he'd fit in fine. He can play the center midfield. He can play out on the wing. If he wants to play wing, I don't see really a need for him because we have, I mean, unless we're going to start bringing in a sort of a true vice Insigne, cause I don't think that Elmas is that guy. I mean, unless we're, you know, but yeah, I mean, DePaul would be great. Whether we want to spend 40 or 50 million on him, it remains to be seen. I don't think our chances of landing him are very high. Truthfully,
no. I think if Fabian leaves, he'll be replaced by somebody, you know. And we were heavily rumored to Zakanyi. Those rumors are still there. I've seen him like a couple of Napoli posts and caught attention to the journalists out there. But the journalists have nothing else to write about right now, so that's just kind of you know,
we're in a press silence, so they're just
sure
speculating about everything. So. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, we'll see what happens, but, you know, we're starting to get into silly season now, so we're going to hear a lot of names linked to us, and players that we're interested in, but, you know.
Here's a really good one from him, too. This rounds out Don's questions. Also, who prefers to be, I think what he's saying is, who do we prefer?
Who do we prefer to be our starting right wing?
Lozano or Politano next season, and why? Now, we spoke about, for the game, it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
But next season, who's the starter, dude? Who do you think?
So, if we make the Champions League, there's going to be room for both of them. I think that there's going to be plenty of minutes for both of them. I think like I said before, a lot of this depends on who we have to be our manager and what type of style we're going to play. If it requires more defensive tracking back, I think you'll probably see more Politano right away. If we're going to be more of an attacking side, you're going to see Lozano more. That's sort of where I lie. But they've both been so good this year, I really can't pick one over the other. Lozano has a little bit more flexibility where you could play on the right wing and the left wing if you know, we need him to sub in for Insigne, or we want to have Insigne's minutes cut down a little bit as he starts to get close to 30 years old already, which seems crazy, but he's closing in on 30. So, you know, I think there's going to be enough minutes for everybody. No matter what, we're going to be in Europe next year. There's going to be minutes for lots of players. So I think I'll spin it back and just say I'm grateful and happy that we have both of these guys. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. Like that.
I'm going to throw one in there. What do you think of the rumors of Caio Jorge coming in from I think it was Santos. Was it Santos?
You know, I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know much about him.
Right.
I know that Caio, our friend from Brazil, has really really, really high on him. So I'll sort of, you know, go to what he says. He seems to be very touted. I know he's 18 or 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a really good sort of regional championship. In Brazil, they do like state championships,
right,
type of states, deal. So yeah. I know he has three goals in that, the Paulistão, and that's usually a good barometer. And there's so many competitions in South America. So,
right.
I mean, for me, you can never have too much depth, right? And that's great. Depth, but
right.
Mm-hmm. But this wouldn't be my number one area.
Right. This wouldn't be my first signing, right?
Yeah.
Not the first signing, right? What I know of him from my brother-in-law, who's a big Sao Paulo fan, and you know, his family from Sao Paulo and all that. I feel like he was good a couple years ago. I know he's 18, 19, but the under 17 World Cup, he really lit up for Brazil. Like he was like the star of that tournament.
Sure.
And then even just as recent as this past year, you know, he's kind of trickled off a little bit. That's kind of how it is in Brazil, isn't it though? You know, you make a splash quick and then you get that big move and then something happens to you before you hit like 22, 23. It's just kind of, sometimes it kind of goes away, doesn't it? But, you know, he's a good player. I wouldn't, like you said, I wouldn't mess with the attack right now. Like right now, I think what we got is just amazing. Maybe a little help on the left for Insigne just in case. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, if that's where Mertens, he wants to play, and he wants to be sort of.
But we have Mertens and Chucky. Chucky can move over to the right if we need to, and Mertens can always cover. I mean, over to the left, excuse me, and then Mertens can always back up the right if he has to too. So we have the options there. So it's like, I feel you there. It's like, why go there first? But you know, if it's gonna make a little noise, then why not? I guess, you know what I mean. But I guess my answer to Dom's last question was Lozano, because I feel like he and Osimhen links up so well.
He has a better chemistry with Osimhen,
He does. Sure. He has great chemistry with Osimhen, but let's talk about him too real quick, dude. 10 goals.
The fact that he got the double-digit goals
makes
me really happy.
Yeah.
You know, missed such a long stretch of the season, and when he came back, he obviously wasn't fully fit, but, man, the last five or six games, the last 2 months, whatever it's been, man, he's been so good. He's been so good, and he just changes the game for us. I mean, that game against – a game a few weeks ago where he had the double, was it Spezia or
– Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that – I know it's Spezia, but, I mean, the last 2 months he's been so good. He's been he's been really, really hitting his form. And even against – like, even last week, I thought he played great, and it was a shame that he didn't get a goal. He really set up that second goal. And it was the same story against Udinese. I thought he could have scored against Udinese as well. But, you know, he scored a big goal against Cagliari. He scored a goal in the match against Torino. Scored against Lazio. But he's been really good the last month and a half. And you could tell he's feeling he's vibing right now for sure.
It's almost a shame that we have to go into this offseason now because he's really picked up the stride, you know. He has. And I just love the fact that he's also 21, 22, and very unselfish. He could have went for that third goal, that hat trick against Spezia, and he laid it off to his buddy Chucky, you know, and I think that the chemistry is so great there. So I wouldn't really mess with that. Nick Laux comes in at Nick's 2 cents. I kind of answered this already, but I'm going to read it anyway because just thanks. Thank you, Nick, for the question. Yeah. Will your feelings for Gattuso change if he loses Sunday and they fall to fifth? My answer is no. I don't think they change at all.
No.
The run that we went on to get to where we're at, you know, like you said, in the middle of the season, we were seventh place, really struggling. Everybody was losing their shit over that Spezia loss. And then the Verona loss.
Lost at Verona, was really the one where
the Genoa loss too after that, you know. So, you know, I just really feel like he's done a great job regardless, you know, and it's kind of mirroring the Milan situation if he doesn't make it to the Champions League.
Yeah, he'll end up missing by like one or two points. By a point. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you can see how much he's grown as a manager. And you know, I tell you what, man, my freaking fiance Allie says it's so great. She's the biggest Gattuso fan you'll ever meet. She loves him. She said, sometimes it's really not about X's and O's and tactics, and it's about desire and mentality and your will to win for someone. And I think that she really hits the nail on the head with when it comes to Gattuso, you know. But yeah, at the same time, if you take a look at those Spezia goals, and I mentioned this already too, if you look at those Spezia goals, you're going to see him point Mario Ri right to Chucky, who he sent the ball downfield to, and then Chucky found Lozano for Osimhen, and then found Chucky for that goal. You're going to see that. You're going to see things like, you know, just two goals. I forgot what other one it was, but there were two goals that just really were Gattuso made, you know. Yep. It's things that you could tell they trained for, you know, the Di Lorenzo ball that they sent down all the way downfield. And he boots the ball all the way down for the first goal against Spezia. He boots the ball all the way downfield and then dashes to that freaking byline. Yep. And is there for the assist to Zielinski for the first goal. Things like that you practice on the pitch, you know. So he's got a sense of some sort of tactics. He's got an idea of what he's doing out there.
Oh yeah, I think the argument that Gattuso is only Grinta and the rest of it is kind of crap. It's kind of a crap lazy take. Anyone who's watched us over the last 2 or 3 months can see that that's not the case right. at all. And the players love to play for him. They really care about him. You can tell he has his team united. You see the celebrations after the goals last few weeks. I mean, Zielinski, after he scored last week, I know it was an own goal, but when that ball went in the net last week, I mean, you could see that how much it meant to him in the moment. That was a huge goal for the team that really gave us that little bit of wiggle room and cemented that win last week. And, you know, you can see where he has the team mentally. Like, you know, they're ready to go to war for this guy, and that part of it, plus the fact that I think that he's a better tactical manager than people give him credit for, really wouldn't change my opinion of him if we lose on Sunday. You know, I know that he'll have the team mentally in the right place. You know, I say it often when a lot of times people are, you know, I don't know how many chances we've created this year that didn't go in, and you know, Gattuso can't score the chances. You know, he sometimes the manager isn't to blame for everything. So
you're right.
I think he's done a great job, especially the second half of the season, and it'll be a shame if we get into the Champions League and he's not here to see us through it.
We have a question in the WhatsApp chat. You want to read that one out?
Oh yeah, who we got? Joey.
Hey, Joey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Joey. Joey Clampie. one of our New Haven boys. He just said, "I really want to know who you guys prefer as the new kit makers." Rafa, I'll go to you first.
Who I prefer as a new kit maker would be like a Puma. I would really dig a Puma kit for Monopoly. I think so. I'm a big Nike fan too. But I hate what Nike's been doing lately as far as football kits. I don't think they look good at all. I think that new Chelsea kit is gross. You know, the new proposed Inter kit is disgusting as well. But I really wish if Nike were able to like do some sort of like a retro design for Napoli, that would be great. Like they'd have a pretty ugly first kit, but then maybe like their alternate kit would look pretty badass. But I love Puma, and I would love to see that. It's not going to happen. We all know what the rumors are. But Puma for me, and then maybe Adidas. Adidas because I fit in it, man. Like I just do. Dude, a 3X is very comfortable and it's wearable. And I got the new New York City FC 3X because when they unveiled that kit, it looked so much like it could have been a Napoli kit. I was like, dude, I need this kit. I need to buy it. So I bought it, and it looks great. It feels great. And that's just me. But honestly, if they stayed with Coppa, I'd love it too, because I'm just a big, you know, any Italian brand. I'd also I'm picking them all, Ken. I'd also
Rob is like, picking all the kit makers.
Yeah, never mind Ken, because Ken's probably just gonna pick one of the ones I just said. But for me, Macron would be great too. I was
go back to Macron.
Most of the Macron jerseys.
If you want my honest opinion, I don't really care. I don't care who makes the kits.
Yep.
There's been so many debates about it in the chats and online, and this kid, this kit maker, and that kit maker. Dude, I don't care.
If it was legit, I wouldn't care.
Napoli could pull a Roma and make their kits in house, and I would. Dude,
and that might happen. That actually might happen.
And I don't care. Whoever makes the kits, I don't care, as long as they don't get another belly cat. I'm all set. You know. If we don't get another animal on the kits, I'll be happy. We don't get.
Dude, you don't understand. I still have to look at Rocco's belly cat every week when he comes back here, dude.
The belly cat.
Gotta wear.
We had the belly cat and we had the snake skin goalkeeper kits. God, that was really.
Where the head of the snake was in the back of the bottom back of the jersey, right? Like
really, sort of like, really bad.
Towards the back end of the jersey.
Yeah, that was. I mean, God, that was.
Yeah, that was atrocious, dude.
That whole season, what was that? 18, 19?
Yeah,
that was Ancelotti's first year, or so.
Yeah.
God, those were so bad. All those kits were bad. They had.
Yeah, I don't think one of them went with it. No.
You know,
and then the Champions League kit had the neon yellow stripes. Yeah, really bad.
It was bad. It was a really bad kit. And then we had the white. That year was bad.
Oh, the white. Well, no, was it white? Was it silver like white in the front?
Gray.
Yeah, and white in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, those kits, man, they were really, really rough. That might be the worst full year of kits we ever had.
Right. Right, the full line, yes.
Like, the whole line was awful. Yeah. There was not one good kit. I don't have a kit. Oh, that's not true. I do have a home kit from that year, just a regular home kit, but I never wear it. The rest of these are all awful.
Should auction that off or something.
Because then the year after, we had a bunch of nice kits.
Yeah, I digged the year after.
We had the dark blue Champions
League kits. It was sort of makeshift camo, not really. It wasn't really camo, but it was like...
Yeah, but we had like the camo kit that year. We had like the green...
Right, the color. The green color. That was really nice. Yeah.
And then we had the district kit that year was the special kit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was last year. That was good. And then this year's kits, I love them all. The third kit, like the pink and blue one is not my favorite, but I was out in Revere Beach today with the mint kit, so I think they did a great job this year, and I thought the Europa League kit was great with the gold and the one spot.
That was my favorite one. Well, that one and the Maradona one.
I mean,
yeah.
So I mean, we can have a whole.
That's a whole show. That's a whole off-season show. Why not?
Yeah. We can talk about our top 10 kits or whatever. You know.
We'll do it. Serie A sit down comes in and asks, "What the hell took you so long?"
Yeah, I know. All right. It's, you know, it happens. Yeah, I'm back. I know.
Well, Ken, I think the last time I calculated the Scudetto podcast table was the last time you were on the show.
Oh, man, you're gonna have a lot of backlog.
I've got a lot of work to do, but here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna announce this right now for everyone who might be listening, and I'll post on Twitter, obviously. This week we're gonna do, for the last week of the season, we're gonna do three matches, and it's gonna be all three. It's going to be Napoli-Verona, it's going to be Bologna-Juventus, and it's going to be Atalanta-Milan. Predictions, boom. Three matches this week to end the season the right way. Ken, thanks for, agreeing to come on such short notice, dude.
But oh, yeah.
When we talked about you coming back in, I thought to myself, well, Ken's texting a whole lot today for a Thursday. let me see what he's doing. Maybe we can announce him back and welcome him back in with open arms, because Far From Vesuvius is not Far From Vesuvius without Ken Schofredi, bro. For real. And I need you back here.
We're back in it.
And let's go. Let's just go. Off to the races again. Far From Vesuvius is going to be bringing so much content with Ken, Marco, hopefully a couple more surprises. We're going to do the rant. We're going to do the podcast. We're going to do videos. We're going to have a website back up, articles, everything. You name it. You ask for it. We'll do it, you know. But everybody, enjoy the match this weekend.
Big one. I rearranged my whole day.
So if you're not a work day, if you're so a Napoli fan and did not rearrange your whole day for this, then are you even a Napoli fan, bro?
Dude, I had to. You don't understand. I was like, okay, because they didn't originally, like, on all the apps, it said it was a 1 o'clock kickoff.
Right.
And I was like, okay, cool. It gives me just enough time. No big deal. And then when they said it was going to be 2:45 in the Eastern United States, I was like, okay, I gotta change my work day. Going into work at 5:00.
How'd they take it?
Well, they're fine. They're fine.
Well, dude, honestly, we you know, we're here. Here we are. This is it. This is it. One win and we're in.
That's it, baby. You know, win and we're in. That's all I gotta say.
Much else to say. What else is there to say?
Forza Napoli sempre.
That's right, Forza Napoli.